Blog Talk Radio.
Spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jabez this morning and Christian Warrior. I love that song right there. I've kept it for years now. I had that Jamaican connection. Well, I still have it, Sister Michelle and Sister Julie. And that was the popular song during the time that I went to New York, Jamaica, New York, for their convention, church convention. And they played that song, and these people would sing it live, and it was just beautiful. And so I always, you know, kept that song in the song vault of the studio, and I just thank God for it, because we are Christian warriors. And we shouldn't be surprised basically by nothing that come our way, because we're warring all the time, because carnal is always fighting against the Spirit of God, you see. And I just thank God for his Spirit. I thank God for what many call the Holy Spirit. I call it the Holy Ghost, because the way he moves. Ah, he can be here with me and over there with you. Yeah, they can say no right here, and the Spirit of the Lord will say yes, and it'll turn into a yes. I didn't know that this morning. And I'm grateful unto him. I thank him today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank him this morning with my whole heart. Hey, he's been good to me. Listen to me this morning. He's been faithful, faithful, faithful. I've never known anyone to be as faithful as he is. Oh, he's a faithful God on our side this morning. Hallelujah. In spite of us. Wake me up faithfully every morning, clothed in my right mind. I have the use and activities of my limbs, my life, my health, and my strength. Ah, look at here. He's blessed me. He has blessed me. Blessed me with his word. Blessed me to stand when I didn't think I could stand no more. He yet strengthened me to stand. And after standing, stand some more, because I'm standing on that solid foundation, the word of God. And I know I've come here for 11 years to share the good news of Jesus. And I know how many pastors have felt, because they're doing all of this stuff and they see the people. He's preaching right, but the people constantly going left. He's preaching to the right and they constantly going left, because they allow their flesh to rule and reign in their lives. They allow what they feel, not what they know, but what they feel. And this morning, I want us to go with what we know, not what we're feeling. See, because feelings even can be deceiving. Oh, you need me to prove it to you. Okay. John Brown said he loved you. Sally Mae said she loved you. And now you got these feelings, butterflies all in your stomach, and you in love. But it's what they said, and it gave you a feeling. But later on, you found out it wasn't true. They left you. They could do you any kind of way. They cheated on you. They stole from you in the relationship. So we can't go with feelings. This morning, we got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We got to know it by faith. We got to know it by trusting him. We got to know it in our heart. They had a saying years ago that said, you got to know that you 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 know your Redeemer lives. But see, when we're not in the word of God constantly, and we're not focusing on his word, and we're not in our prayer life, a personal prayer life at home, in our cars, on the job, wherever we go. See, we're not constantly connected to him. He said if we'll keep our mind on him, he'll keep us in perfect peace. But we keep our mind on situations. We keep our mind on problems. Yeah. And we can't be as excited as we should be about God. Anything come your way, I'm a living witness this morning that he's able to fix it. I'm not telling you what the preacher told me, the Sunday school teacher told me. I'm telling you from experience. I don't care what it is. He's Almighty God to have all power. He can fix it for you. Look here. Your situation in death, when you got a close loved one that died, how much closer can a daughter be to a mother that he allowed to come on to her resting place? Gone. She's not coming back. I have to wait until I get there to see her again. Oh, but I will see her again. But even in death, he's God. Even in death, he got the power. We heard the scripture say, I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God. And it go on to list a whole bunch of things. But do we really take this serious? Are we really believing the word of God? Many of us don't believe the word of God. Some of us, we like pity parties. Drinking pitiful punch, eating pitiful sandwiches, cutting pitiful cake. I can't do it. And the reason I can't do it is because of this. I know early in the morning, my Redeemer, he lives. Oh, looky here. September 28, 2021. Hey, glory. I know. I don't know about you today. My Redeemer lives. He lives in me daily. He lives in me. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Thank you, Jesus. I know my Redeemer lives, for he lives in me. He lives in me. I know my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hey, glory to his majesty. He's worthy of the praise this morning. Hallelujah. He's worthy of the glory and the honor. He's worthy of worship this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's none like him. Hallelujah. I know my Redeemer lived. He found a way to redeem me back to himself. I was lost without him. And I think on these things. Without him, I can do nothing. I can sit to the kitchen counter and begin to talk to him. Begin to think on these things. My Redeemer lives. I have the God that have all power. There's no higher power. He loved me in spite of myself. He told me I could cast my cares upon him because he careth for me. And when I cast my cares, he showed me that he cared for me. I thank him this morning. Hallelujah. You don't understand. Hey, this is the great God. This is the God that can turn any situation around. I can't focus on my situation. I can't focus on problems. I have to focus on him. The great problem solver, Louis. Louis, he's my bright and morning star. He's my lily of the valley. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, he's my God. He's my high tower. His name is a place where I can run in and be saved. I can call upon his name. The situation changed right before my very eyes. But I can't give my flesh more than I give him. I can't give my flesh more than I give his word because I won't be no good. I'll be like everybody else. He made a peculiar person. He allowed me to know I'm of a royal priesthood. Anybody know about royalty? They just don't go with any and every old thing. They don't bow down evil. We stand up because we have on the whole armor of God and we're ready to fight. I am a warrior. Oh, yeah, the Christian warrior, huh? We ready. Why? We've been in prayer. We've been in his word. Coming here for 11 years. I have to live that which I teach and preach. I have to live it. That which I encourage others to do, I have to do it myself. Because what good would it be for me to teach others and I'm not doing it? I lead you to Jesus and you go back with him when he comes and I'm in hell. Oh, no. Oh, no. I got to be the first one. I know my Redeemer lived this morning. I got to be the first one to live this thing. It's all right to talk about it. I love to talk of his wonders works. I love making known his deeds among the people. But I tell you this morning, I have to live this right here. I have to live this godly life. I have to love my enemies. Some days I have to confess to God what I don't want to confess because I've been wrong. Lord, I said this and I said that, but God, look what you was doing. I didn't even give you time to fix it. I just got in my feelings and I rolled with. And I could hear it plain, come unto me. All that's burden and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Did you forget that? That had you burdened. That had you heavy over there. It even had you want to reach out and say something to somebody. But if you wait on me, I'm going to renew your strength. If you wait on me, I'm going to turn it around. I just need you to wait on me, because that over there was wrong, but you got upset from a good heart. But guess what? I don't need you upset. That's my business. I'll take care of it. He's that kind of God. So it pay us best not to get our business fixed with the world or with our flesh or our family members or the job or nothing else. But it pay us best to get our business fixed with Almighty God, who have all power. I feel a dance might come on this morning, Louis. I feel like I might run around in here today, because he's been good to me. And I just got to test it. I know you don't understand it. I really can't even just tell you just how good he's been to me. I can't really words just not won't do it, how faithful he has been to me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Louis, say, run on. How faithful he has been to me. Ooh, I don't know if you can understand today. Faithful. Every time I turn around, God keep on blessing me every time I turn around. And it's not materialistic. It's not just money, George West Perry. It's not just materialistic things, Bro Perry. It's much more than that this morning. It's much more. It's my spirit man. Ha! Huh? Yeah. Hey, it's my spirit man. Hey, he keeping me. Thank you, Jesus. It's that spirit man that's in me that's excited this morning. Hallelujah. Nothing about my flesh, you see. Yeah, that flesh is no good. It's a deceiver. It'll trick you. Oh, but the spirit of God that lives in you, it'll walk you through dark places. Oh, the spirit of God that lives within you, it'll bring you out the valley up on the mountaintop. Yeah, that spirit that lives within you. You can have some bad days, but nobody will know, because that spirit man in you is yet excited. Because he can turn no to yes. He can turn bad to good. He can bring you out with a testimony. He can make the trial easier. Huh? He can end the trial easier and yet give you the lesson. Because every trial we go through, there's a lesson in the trial. Somebody said, there's a lesson in the storm. Help me sing it. There's a blessing in the storm. I got to say it again. There's a lesson in the storm. Oh, hear me sing it. There's a blessing in the storm. Do you know the lessons that you can learn from the storms that you're going through? It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Yes, Sister Jerry. All of our life, God has been good to us. Faithful. I don't know. I like faithfulness. I love faithfulness, because you can depend on it. You can depend on faithfulness, because it's going to always be there. Always be there. I've known some stores in Jacksonville. At Warman's Bakery was one of them. Jerry, you remember Warman's Bakery? And you could go to Warman's and they had the most, oh my goodness, wonderful, delicious baked goods. Y'all know I love food. And Warman's disappeared. They went out. There was one out San Jose and it disappeared, I believe. I don't think it's there no more. But I could go downtown and shop and do whatever. I'm going to pay bills or whatever and stop by Warman's and get me something from the baker, something delicious. It's gone. If you're from the Jacksonville area, you will remember Baker Shoe Store. You will remember Woolworth, Woolco, Morrison Cafeteria. There were a number of places here. Yeah, they went out of business, Jerry. But now they are gone. But God is never leaving us, not forsake us. We can count on, he'll never go anywhere. He'll never disappear. They'll never tell him, well, you're too old to run the business and children no longer want. No, you'll never hear that. He's going to be right there. And what the good part is, he got this son. And it's his only offspring. It's his only begotten son. And guess what? He and his son are one. So he and his son are not going anywhere. Because in this life, in the natural, we turn our business over to our children. Sometimes we give our homes to our children because we going on. And they don't keep it going. They don't keep the house up. They sell the house. They sell the furniture. All we've struggled to have, they got rid of it. They got rid of the business. They sold it to somebody else. All the struggling we've done to keep the business going. But guess what? That's not the case with Jesus and the Father. That's not the case with the Father and the Son. Faithful, they're always going to be there. And I want to share this with you this morning. I'm always expecting something from them. I'm always expecting something. If it's no more than a word of encouragement or words of direction, I'm always expecting from them. Because, see, they give good direction, but we just many times we don't follow the directions. See, we follow the ending part. See, he says this, which is direction. Delight yourself also in me. That's the direction. Now, because you follow the direction and I will give you the desires of your heart, we overlook the instruction part, the direction. We just want the part that says, I will give you the desires of your heart. We just want the desire. We miss that delight in ourselves in him. See, he gave instruction, directions. He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. We overlook the instructions. We overlook the light in ourselves in him. We just want, you know, the ending part. Keep your mind on me, I'll keep you in perfect peace. We bypass the instruction, and we just want the perfect peace. But we got to eat the whole word of God. We got to eat the whole God. We got to have the whole Jesus. We got to follow all the instructions and not be concerned about anything. If he said, delight yourself also in me, I will give you. All you got to do is delight yourself in him. Look here, the desires of your heart is coming. He's not a God that forget. He's not a God that mismatch. The scripture even says over, I believe it's in James, if him that is not spiritual know how to give good gifts, how much more our Heavenly Father know how to give us good gifts? A son asks for bread, he's not going to give him a brick. He asks for bread, he's not going to give him a rock. Because our Father knows much more and much better how to give gifts than the natural father, than the natural mother. But we got to taste daily as often as we can remember and see that the Lord is good. We got to taste and see that the Lord is good. And many today, they're ashamed of the gospel. They're ashamed of people praising and worshiping God. And they got these little quiet, dead ministries, and that won't work. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise him with the tambourine. Praise him with the harp. Praise him with the cymbals. Go ahead and get the drum and bam it on out. Back in the day, I used to see them with rub boards. You know, the washboard, what you used to scrub clothes with? I saw them with that and a piece of coat hanger wire bent up where they could rub that thing just right. A big drum. They didn't have all the, you know, the other little pieces of the drum, just one big drum. And they go to work. And if they had somebody with a guitar, or we call it a guitar. Baby, they get in there in their church of wives. Somebody have a stick and these wooden floors. And they take that stick and another tat, 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 on the floor. To the drum, to the guitar, to the rub board. Now, if they had a piano or an organ, it was on. Because everything synced together and all we churched the while. And nobody set nobody down. The praise was on. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Louis. Luke 11 through 13. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Huh? He know how to give good gifts this morning. Mm-hmm. And he have gifts with our names on them. And he's ready to give the gifts to us, but we can't handle it. We don't want it. See, it's not money, so we don't want it. It's not the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy, so we don't want it. It's not the latest car that has come out, you know, we don't want it. But the gifts he gives to us will last us throughout eternity. And if we can learn to accept what he allows, it'll make this life better than ever. Yeah. Yeah, old timers used metal thimbles to play a washboard. That too, yes they did. But we had that coat hanger wire at our church and you rub that rubber, crack it, crack it, crack it, crack it, crack it, crack it. Oh yeah, and don't forget to bring that tambourine on in there. Many brought a tambourine, or the church had some tambourine. Yeah. And we made it a joyful noise unto the Lord. Nowadays people ashamed of that. You get to praising God, they looking at you strange because I'm telling you something is not right here. Human beings that say they believers, human beings that say they Christians, human beings that say they're the saints of God, they believe in noise. They believe in opening their mouth and praising God. Yeah, that's what we believe. Many years I have said to others, I'm from that noisy crew. And they know what I'm talking about when I say I'm from that noisy crew. I'm from over there where they play drums, pianos, and sang loud. And when the Spirit of the Lord get to moving in there, we open our mouth and we're not ashamed to begin to praise him. Yeah. That's the crew I'm a member of. Yeah. Because we want to praise God. And we want to treat people right, even in this life. Yeah. Oh, we. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm grateful unto him this morning because when I look around to see, or when I look around and see what the Lord has done for me, great and mighty things. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. So listen, we're going to prayer, and when we come back, we're coming back with one more song. And this morning, Bishop Rudolph McKissick is going to bring our message of the day. And this is the message, just when you least expect it. Just when you least expect it. That's the title of this message for today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is faithful. And he's faithful unto us. And we should press forward as often as we can remember to be faithful unto him. And a huge thing with us, we're better off, but we don't understand, I don't think. We let our flesh and our feelings dictate to us. But if we could only accept what God allows, I promise you'll be better off. Your days will be brighter. Your load will be lighter. You remember to trust him with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him. He's going to direct your path. You remember that more often. If you learn to accept what God allows. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, let's go to prayer. And when we come back, we're coming back with a song of the morning. And I should have downloaded this one into the studio. But on yesterday, I was quite busy, I'm honest. I got off and I wanted to take me a nap so bad. But one thing after another. So I did not get to take a nap like I wanted to. But nonetheless, it's this. I will eventually download this one into the studio and keep it like I kept Jabez Christian.
Do you know what I see here?
Yeah. So after this prayer, then we'll go to one more song of the morning, as I said, and then we're coming right back with Bishop Rudolph McKissick Jr. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good to us. I thank God for all these messages that when I need them, they're in place. Yeah, because some mornings I just can't quite get everything and do everything, but God is faithful to me and he understands. One more thing I'm going to say, and we're going to prayer. Listen, patience. Can you have patience for God? Because he has so much patience for you. And can you start looking at Jesus? Can you really just start looking at Jesus? Look at what he did. Look at how he did things. And see if you can work with him, that you can get like him, become like he was. Patience, patience. God don't always do things instantly. Some things, people call it a process. I call it the timing of God. So patience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's pray this morning. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this day. We thank you this morning. Father, we thank you for bringing us together as a group to give you the first fruit of our day. We thank you because you're more than deserving of anything that we as your people can give to you. Father, we want to be more than right with you, because even our righteousness is as filthy rags before you. But Father, we really truly deserve death. But your grace and your mercy, most of all, your love for us, and you continue over and over again to give us a chance. We thank you this morning for the time to get it right with you. We thank you for sending your son to prepare a place that where you are, we may be also one day. We thank you for your planning for us. We thank you that you made us and you didn't leave us. But over and over and over, you're right here with us. And Father, even those who don't love you, those who don't obey you, you're yet considerate of them. You yet keep them alive. Many you've healed. Many you take care of. They don't even know that it's you because they don't believe. But this morning, those of us that believe, those of us that's following your son, Jesus, those of us that are crying out to you, but let this mind be in us that was also in your son, Christ Jesus. Father, move by your spirit here this morning. Bless your people. These are your people. And Father, you love them. You so love them. You sent your only begotten son. Hey, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And we come believing this morning. Hallelujah. Believing on your son. And you said if we believe, we won't perish, but we'll have everlasting life. We believe your word this morning, and we need you to do it in us. Father, time is far spent. Time is winding up. We know not a day, not an hour when we will leave here. We don't know the day, not an hour when you return. But Father, you asked us to continue to work and continue to obey as if you're coming back today. We need you to help us, Lord, to get in your word and let your word get in us. We need a spirit of obedience upon all of us like never before. Do it for us. We're your people. We need you. We can't do it for ourselves. Father, do it for us today. Give us a spirit of obedience like never before. Help us to trust you the more. Help us to walk more in the spirit that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh, more in your spirit than in our natural. Help us to let these feelings die. Let our natural die so you can live. The spirit of you can live in us. But Father, we'll be better off if we walk in the spirit and not according to our flesh. Help us to open our eyes and see that you're real. Father, bless us this day that we let go of the spirit, of the form of godliness. Help us to let go, denying your power thereof. Help us to let go and bury this flesh. Bring this flesh under subjection so that you can live through us. And we'll be the light that sit on the hill that can't be hid. Father, we'll be the salt of the earth. We'll be what give the earth its savor. Move for us today in a mighty way spiritually, O God. In the name of Jesus. Father, because when we seek you with our whole heart, you bless us spiritually and naturally. Help us all to get it right with you. Nobody's better than nobody else. Nobody have all that, not one person. But God, you love us all. And that good thing you began to do in us, you will continue until the day you return. Help us this morning to wake up in you. Help us to wake up in Jesus. Help us to wake up in your spirit today. Help us to wake up in your word. Help us to wake up in obedience. Wake up in the things of you. Father, you can do it for us, and we trust you right now to do it in us. In the name of Jesus. We love you this morning. We love you today. Hey, we love you. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you the honor. Father, we give you the praise this morning. For there's none like you. You're so worthy. You're more than worthy, God. Of any righteous thing we can give unto you, any good thing we can give unto you, any honest thing we can give unto you, any true thing we can give unto you, you're more than. We could never add up to you. Help us this day. Fix our hearts, Father. Regulate our minds. In the name of Jesus, we're asking you. Let us be your people and you be our God in the name of Jesus. Not half-heartedly, not with the form, but with realness in the name of Jesus. Let us be real in you. Hallelujah. This day and every day after in the name of Jesus. Father, touch hearts and minds this morning. Fix hearts and regulate minds today in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. And Father, anywhere we've slacked, we ask that you would forgive us this morning. Father, forgive us of all our sins and wrongdoings, our wrong thoughts, speakings, and feelings. And today, though our sins be as scarlet, Father, we ask that you would wash us as white as snow. Cleanse us this morning from all unrighteousness. Give us a clean heart, O God. And renew the right spirit within us today and this day after in the name of Jesus. Remind us that you're Almighty God who have all power, and without you we can do nothing. We thank you this morning. Ask that you would bless those that are sick here today, touch and heal. Those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military, widowers, bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, Israel and Jerusalem, our brothers and sisters overseas, America and the leadership of America. Father, we lay it on the altar before you this morning and ask that you would fix it for your glory. Fix it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Every caller and every listener this morning, Father, we ask that you would bless in a mighty way. Lord, you know what they stand in the need of. You know about their heart's desires. Move according to your spirit today. In the name of Jesus, we're giving you glory right now. Hallelujah. We're giving you honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we give you the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Bless this segment of Jesus in the morning. Have your way here. Move by your spirit, Father. Open up your people's spiritual ears that they hear what the spirit have to say to the church. And Lord, don't let any fall on bad ground, but let it all fall on good ground. Let nothing choke nothing out of nobody. Let nobody be confused this morning in the name of Jesus. But they'll take it to heart what you said to them in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask today that you would strengthen my family, that you would bless them, God, that they would be strengthened in you and not in their emotions and their feelings. Ask this morning, God, that you would bless Vince and that you would strengthen him like never before. And God, the preacher that he is, that you called him to be, Lord, I ask that you would turn it in his spirit, turn him around in your direction and give him strength and holy boldness. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. In Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah. We thank him this morning. We bless him this morning. And we thank him for blessing us. All the glory and the honor and the praise and the worship, it belongs to him. I remember the scripture says, Brother Louis, think not more of yourself than you ought to. Yeah, because he, if any honor or glory is due to you, he'll give it to you. But we must praise and worship him. Yeah, with our whole heart. Listen, I got to play this one, and y'all forgive me because I got to play this one, and then we're coming. I won't play it all the way through, but I'll play some of it, and then we're coming right back with Bishop Rudolph McKissick Jr. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go with this one.
Dr. Rhonda, Twinkie and I were in Little Rock, Arkansas with Bishop L.T. Walker.
I hope y'all can hear that.
Early one morning, I got a call. I was in Atlanta preaching for Reverend Jasper Williams, and Gloria called me. She said, sit down. I said, I'm going to preach right now. I'm on my way out the door. She said, sit down. I sat down, and my wife told me, we were living in New Orleans at the time. Four of our members had been killed in a wreck. I got angry with the Lord because I thought they were my best members. I had some others I thought he should have took. Y'all don't like the truth. There were some good members last year. I mean, solid people. I'm not talking about the tithe. I'm just talking about sweet, solid people. No hell-raising saints. And I couldn't understand, why would you take those four people at once? I put three people in one grave. I was upset with the Lord because I said, you took my members. He said, clean, they're not yours, they're mine. I said, well, why did you take them? He said, I took them because they were ready. And I'm giving those others a chance to get right. So I called Twinkie, her and Dr. Clark were over at Bishop Walker's house. I said, Twinkie, I wrote these words. See what you can do with this. Accept.
Yeah.
What God allows.
What God allows.
You're better off anyway.
You're better off anyway.
Face the facts.
Face the facts.
And you will never stray.
And you will never stray.
Turn your faith loose.
Turn your faith loose.
Safely. He will bring you out.
He'll bring you out.
And give you.
Give you
all the truth. Don't question God.
What God allows, even you. When you don't understand it,
thank you,
it's
Lord.
Working for your good.
Thank you.
Accept every trial.
Is the kind of radio you need. Yes, Jesus in the Morning Radio. Bold radio for real people.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Twinkie Clark and Mr. Clean. Except what God allows. We're better off anyway. You will get to the place of where you won't ask him why. Because you'll understand whatever he does, it will work together for our good. Whatever he does is to bless us. Whatever he does is to bring us to a place of strength, a place of blessings, a place of miracles. But we just can't get past the natural, and we can't get past money. We just can't get past stuff and things and how we feel and what somebody said and what they might think about us and what they might do to us. We can't get past that. But the day that we get past these things and learn to accept what Almighty God allows, Aya Shata, Eba Haya, Haya. Hey, glory to his majesty this morning. Thank you, Master. Hey, we thank you today, God. We thank you for being on our side in spite of us. The day we get past this natural flesh and let the spirit man rule and reign and accept what Almighty God allows, let me tell you something. You're going to be better off. Your eyes going to come open. They sung a song that said, I can see clearly now, Louis. The rain is gone. Yeah, it'll be like the scales fall off your eyes. It'll be like you in a new dimension. Yeah, you will get to actually see if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have come new. You're a new creation. God made you over, and he didn't make you over of your natural flesh. He made you over through the water and the spirit. And we say we have God, but we walk in our flesh more than showing that the demonstration that God is in us. Hallelujah this morning. I'm thankful unto him. Listen, we're going in with Junior, as Sister Jerry and I call him, none other than Bishop Rudolph McKissick Jr. of Bethel Church in Jacksonville, Florida. Let's take a listen to Bishop.
While you remain on your feet, both in here and in the gym, take your Bibles in your hand and turn to the Gospel of John in the fifth chapter. The Gospel of John in the fifth chapter. I want to begin reading at verse 1. We welcome all those who are worshiping with us by way of stream through Truth to Power Ministries, and we bless God for all of you who are watching. Several tweeted and said they were watching before they went to church. When you go to church, we'll be home. We thank God that you're watching from your home tonight. We hope that you're blessed. John chapter 5, verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It's the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. Amen. You may be seated in the very presence of our God. I want to preach tonight, as the Spirit shall guide, with this thought in our minds: just when you least expect it. Just tell somebody, 2011 is the year when you get blessings when you least expect it. You least expect it. The turn of the 20th century, there was a, what many called in history books, a civil war of consciousness for people of color in this country. It was not between Union and Confederates, but if you know anything about history, it was a civil war of ideologies between those who subscribed to two giants of our community, Booker T. Washington, and those who subscribed to the philosophy of W.E.B. Du Bois. Washington espoused self-help, racial solidarity, and civic accommodation, urging blacks to accept discrimination for the time being and focus on hard work and secure material gain through being and through trade, rather. Du Bois adamantly disagreed, argued against that philosophy, and offered a strategy that he said would perpetuate political action, civil rights, and social change. If you've read any history, you know that at the core of Du Bois' argument was his understanding of the talented tenth. He believed that if we could get 10% of the community at that time to go to historical black colleges, that the 10% could infuse and inspire energy within the 90, and that the 90 would see the disposition and discipline of the 10 and then follow suit. Washington countered that we ought not focus on the 10% because that would make us elitists and build a caste system. He went on to say it would be easier to get into the hands of the 90% a trade. To which Du Bois countered, "If we go after the 90%, they won't follow through because they do not have the discipline to stay this course. They may get inspired, however," he said, "by seeing the 90. What they were debating about was what it takes to get somebody to the point of initiative to change their life and do something about their life. At the core of their argument, at the core of both of their arguments, was the belief that at some point you have to take some kind of initiative to change your own life, and that other people cannot always do it for you. And if there is not something within you resonating to be better than you are in yourself, then nothing else would help." They had two different understandings of how to get to that point. And I don't know if Jesus Christ were living which ideology he would fall up under. But as I read this text tonight, I see some indicators on his thoughts about self-help and change. In the text, Jesus does some very interesting and unusual things, preachers, that I think warrants our attention. It's time of feast, one of the feasts of the Jews, and Jesus, being a good Jew, has come to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. And in this scene, we are introduced to a pool called Bethesda, which was by the Sheep Gate. Now, the Sheep Gate is very significant because it was the gate through which lamb or sheep were brought for the sacrifice that gave you access to the temple during the feast. I'm coming back to that. Bethesda was a double pool surrounded by colonnades on four sides, with a fifth standing on the dividing wall separating the northern and the southern pools. And the five porches that were in the colonnades were on the two sides, with two on each end and one in the middle. Bethesda is translated, scholars say, three different ways: house of mercy, house of grace, or house of outpouring water. So get the picture. They are at the house of mercy, but everybody is in a mess. They're at the house of mercy, and ain't nobody looking like they've had any mercy. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Because here we are tonight in the house of mercy, and all of us in here are a mess. Our messes might not all be the same, but everybody in here has got a mess in some kind of way. Not only does the place sound familiar, but the practice, because the text says that they all gathered with some kind of mystical understanding that an angel troubled the water. And when the water got troubled, if you got to the water first, whoever got first to the troubled water would get healed. So they came to this house of mercy looking for a trick to make them feel better. And tonight I feel like I'm at Bethesda, because I don't see this many folk on Sunday, which means a whole lot of folk came looking for a trick. I wish y'all would talk to me. Wish y'all would talk to me. The last day of the year, folk come running to Bethesda thinking that they can get a quick trick or hear a quick nursery rhyme or throw a little money on an altar, and all of a sudden, all of their problems are going to disappear. And I know some of y'all ain't going to say amen, because I'm right on your street right about now. But how sad it is that people every now and then will use the church as a trick and use God, in the words of Harry Emerson Fosdick, as your cosmic bellhop who hopscotches down from glory to give you what you want on a silver platter. So in reality, they weren't there looking for mercy. They were there looking for manipulation. If I can just get the trick to work for me, then my life is going to be better. If I can just read the right scripture, read the right book, get in the right church, throw enough seed on the right altar, then all of a sudden all of my problems are going to disappear. But not only was that familiar, look at it. It said, whoever got there first, which meant they were not only there for a trick, but they had to have a spirit of competition. God help me tonight. How often in the church, y'all ain't gonna say amen, do we fight to be first? Woo! First with the title, first in the pastor's face, first on the seat, first with our name called. Y'all ain't saying nothing right through in here. So it was at this place where Jesus comes upon this scene of a multiplicity of issues and a plethora of people who are under the suspicion. Just notion that when the water got stirred, whoever got there first was going to get the miracle. Notice what Jesus does. He walks in to this crowded place filled with people in need. And he walks past people who are crippled, walks over people who are blind, ignores people who are lame, just to get to one person. I dare you to touch your neighbor and tell him, I might be that one. Yeah. All of the other people at the pool, don't miss this, got issues just like the one. But Jesus ignores, disses, and skips over everybody else that's got an issue but this one man. So my question was, why him? I mean, I don't see nothing in the text about this man having a certain level of faith. I don't see nothing in the text about him being a son of Abraham. I don't see nothing in the text about the man calling out to Jesus. He's sitting there like everybody else, waiting on the water, hoping to be first. Why this brother? The text doesn't give us any hint, doesn't give us any clue as to why. But if I can add my spiritual supposition to the inquiry, the brother been in this condition for 38 years. Now, if you do the study, scholars will let us know that 38 years was longer than the average life expectancy for any male in the first century Roman Empire. So that means that the brother has been sick literally for a lifetime. The text says Jesus knew of the brother's long history and knew of his struggle with the condition. And HB, I've often heard this preached from the angle that Jesus saw the man and he looked like he'd given up and looked like he was just there to be there. But I want to take another angle, y'all. I believe Jesus picked this man for the same reason he's going to pick some of y'all. I believe Jesus was honoring how the man had handled the crisis and practiced endurance. Stick with me. 38 years, and he's still showing up. I know he's showing up on a myth and a superstition, but if they believe it could get you out of the condition you're in, that means he keeps showing up, because in spite of 38 years of pain and hell, he hasn't given up on getting better. God help me. His answer to Jesus shows us his confidence is low, but at least he's still showing up. He hadn't quit. He hadn't stopped living, because when you stop living, you start dying. And the reason many believers fall and fail during times of crisis and desperation is because they ain't willing to push through and endure whatever it takes to believe that their condition doesn't have the last word over their life. They give up. They resign themselves to a less than existence. They see no hope. They see no future. All they see is doom and gloom. They allow their circumstance to have the last word. 38 years of misery, and he's still believing that his condition ain't the last word. And I believe Jesus shows up and blesses this brother, because Jesus said, if after 38 years you still believe you can be better than you are right now, I'm going to honor by blessing your life. And who am I talking to in here tonight? You've had a rough year. It's been hell on every side. But Jesus said, I'm coming for you, because through everything you've been through, you never quit. You never gave up. You never threw in the towel. You kept believing that things can get better. I dare you to shake somebody's hand and tell them, my condition will not have the last word. My situation will not be my definition. My condition will not cancel out my future. I'm going to keep showing up and believe that God will honor the fact that I refuse to quit. Can I talk to y'all in here? Because what this text shows me, y'all, is that it's always too soon to quit. I thought I had a prayer in church. Tell somebody, it's always too soon to quit. Can I call the roll of folk who made examples of success when it looked like they should have quit? Yes, Dr. Seuss' first book was rejected by 23 publishers, but when he didn't quit, his first book sold 6 million copies. During the first year of business, Coca-Cola only sold 400 Cokes. Henry Ford went bankrupt twice in his first 3 years in the automobile business. Michelangelo spent 7 years on his back painting the Sistine Chapel. Michael Jordan was cut
from his high school basketball team. In 1905, the University of Berlin rejected the dissertation of Albert Einstein. John Bunyan wrote The Pilgrim's Progress while laying up in a prison. Joseph had to go through a pit and a prison before he saw his dream in a palace. Moses had to go through a desert before he saw the land of promise. David had to go through murder of him before he became the king. But I ain't got to go to the Bible. Somebody up in Bethel tonight can testify there were moments when I could have quit, but I kept on believing that he wouldn't bring me this far just to leave. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell him it's too soon to quit. I know you're broke. I know you're going through. I know what the doctor said, but it's too soon to quit. Y'all sit down. I'm just talking. I believe God, Jesus, honored the fact that the brother kept believing that it could get better. Now here was my other question that I ain't never heard. What about the ones who got overlooked? I mean, I need help. You gonna step over me and make me watch you heal somebody else without using the method we all here waiting on? And then let me get my hope up that you're going to do that to all us, and you did it to him and walked away? What about the folk that didn't get healed that day? Because I'm talking to somebody tonight. You came to church and you're going to shout 2011 is your year, but this may not be your day. Y'all don't like this. Y'all don't like this. You're going to leave out of here still broke, still sick, still on the verge of divorce, child still crazy. Y'all ain't talking to me now. What do I do when the Lord makes me watch other folk get it, and I got to leave still dealing with what I'm dealing with? Y'all ain't talking to me. You got to reach the point of saying, it just wasn't my turn yet. But I'm going to learn to celebrate whoever's turn it was. Because if I can celebrate your turn, I dare you to shake your neighbor's hand and tell them, it might not be my night tonight. And if it's yours, I'm going to celebrate you. Because I know mine has got to come. Ain't nobody shouting. Now see, if I told you you were going to get a house, you were going to get a car, you'd be running around this church. But every now and then, you got to, by faith, celebrate what he did for somebody else, believing that it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do it for you. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them, I'm going to shout if you get it tonight. I'm going to bless God if you get it tonight. I'm going to scream if you get it tonight. Huh? What? Y'all sit down. I'm just talking. Watch. Watch. We're given several descriptions of the conditions at the pool. We ain't never told which one the man has. I believe he's got to be paralyzed. And when you're paralyzed, don't miss this, when you're paralyzed, you are stuck in a situation where you can't go any further than where you currently are. When you're paralyzed, you want to move. It ain't that you done resigned yourself to paralysis, but something ain't functioning right on the inside. And it's manifesting the internal dysfunction in your external movement, preach boy. There are a whole lot of folk in here tonight paralyzed. Want it to be better. Want it to grow. Want it to look different. But you just can't seem to get it to do anything. And I came to tell you tonight, Jesus is going to honor your endurance. See, everybody likes to shout about deliverance. It don't take a whole lot to shout and smile on deliverance. It takes real faith to walk in endurance. Because endurance don't just mean you still going through, but endurance means you going through acting like you ain't going through. Endurance means folk can't look at you and tell how much you struggling. Endurance means you look better than the hell that you kept. Is there anybody in here who can say, I ain't been delivered, but I am enduring? I'm smiling. I'm giving God glory. I'm going to work on time. I got joy in my spirit. Now watch. Watch. I ain't going to be long. I got a long weekend ahead of me. Watch. Watch this. He honors the brother's endurance, but then he handles the brother's lack of enlightenment. Jesus asked this man this question. Dude, you want to be made whole? And the man shows the effects of failure on his endurance, even though he's still enduring. He said, I want it, but. The brother don't answer whether or not he want to be better. He didn't answer if he wants to make changes. Instead, he said, I'm not better because the government won't help me. I'm not better because the system won't help folk with a criminal rap sheet. I'm not better because I grew up in the projects. I'm not better because I ain't never know who my daddy was. I'm not better because the system is against me. I'm not better because of how folk treat me, because of what they know about me. Jesus said, I ain't asked you about people. I asked you about you. See, the question tonight is not what's going on against you. The question tonight is not who's against you that hadn't allowed it to happen. But the question tonight is, do you want to have a better life for yourself? Forget everything that has happened or not happened before tonight. I want to know, before you go into the new year, do you want your life to be whole? Now, I ain't talking about money. I ain't talking about cars. I ain't talking about a boyfriend. But do you want to stand on your own two feet and be better than you've ever been in your life? Is there anybody in here who can say, forget all the excuses, I want a better life now? So, I'm just working one place. So watch, I love the way the King James says it. The brother said, I have no man. And I often wondered why Jesus ignored that. Because he don't know Jesus, so what he said he ain't got is in front of him. He says, I have no man. Jesus ignores that and just goes on to the miracle. Here's what I think. Jesus ignored that because Jesus is the very miracle manifestation that contradicts that excuse. Y'all didn't get it. Maybe his mama told him that when she was first told she was going to give birth to the Christ child, she said, how can this be? I know no man. Y'all ain't got it yet. Y'all ain't got it yet. Y'all. I believe Jesus said, I done heard that excuse before. And I'm the very evidence that that excuse can't stop nothing. So instead of me even dealing with your excuse, let me move on to your miracle. Can I tell you tonight that whatever excuse you got tonight, he's got a remedy that doesn't matter what your excuse is, which means don't spend your life empowering your excuses. Because in life, there are no excuses. There are only choices. See, Jesus is working on the brother's mind. Because as one verse says, he's impotent. Can I tell you that impotence is the incubator for irresponsibility? As long as I can't do it for myself, I can hold other people responsible for why they happened for me. Ooh, I can hold other people responsible to help me get it. Y'all ain't said nothing. But if Jesus heals me, then I got to be responsible for myself. If Jesus heals you, you got to get off your 45-year-old behind in your mama's house and get a job. Y'all don't want to say that. If Jesus heals you, you got to stop making yourself a low-price hooker laying down just to pay a bill. Yeah. I ain't scared none of y'all. If Jesus heals you, then you got to work on your interview skills and go in there and make a good impression. If he heals you, then you got to go back to school, get that degree, since you know you need a degree to get a job other than slinging french fries in McDonald's. So the question is, do you want what comes with being healed? Or have you gotten so used to irresponsibility that laziness has become your Lord? I'm sorry, I know this ain't the kind of New Year's Eve sermon y'all want. Because 2011 needs to be the year where you stop using other people as the reason you don't get your life together. Accept the wholeness of Jesus Christ. Get your life together and do what you can do for yourself. So watch. Watch what Jesus does. I'm almost done. Black preacher, I got four more. Almost done. Watch what Jesus does. The man offers nothing but excuses. Sean, he never answers the question. And Jesus still gives him the blessing. Jesus gives the man the miracle, and the man has done nothing but give excuses. I got a problem. All the real ride-die folk getting ready to get your good shout you wanted for New Year's Eve. Because I thought I had learned biblically and theologically that you had to have faith or somebody you connected to had faith for you. You know, if you got the faith, God's got the power. But when I read this text, I found out that even when you don't have the faith, I wish I had a witness in here, he still got the power. That's somebody's testimony tonight. There were times when you didn't believe God could do it, but he still showed you that he had the power, and he did it anyhow. Do I have any witnesses in here who can say, I didn't have the faith to believe he was going to make a way? I didn't have the faith to believe he was going to open that door. I didn't have the faith to believe he was going to heal me, but he did it anyhow. I dare you to shake somebody's hand and tell them he did it anyhow. When I didn't believe he could do it, when I didn't trust it could happen, he still did it anyhow. Somebody needs to shout tonight, because in 2010, God did some stuff for you in spite of the fact that you didn't believe it, and he did it just to show you that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask and all you could think. How many of y'all are grateful tonight that every now and then he'll bless you even when you ain't got the faith?
Watch. So Jesus said, he said, rise. And I've heard this text preached. Yeah. Jesus reached out his hand, lifting him up. That ain't nowhere in the text. Now, I've seen other stories where somebody reached out a hand, but that ain't nowhere in this text. All it says is Jesus said, rise. Jesus don't reach out his hand. That ain't in the text. Then it hit me. The brother's problem was not his paralysis. The brother's problem was assistance addiction. This ain't just a miracle about his legs. This is a miracle about his mind and his outlook. God help me. He got addiction assistance. He's addicted to assistance. Because to get to the pool, he had to have assistance. To get in the pool, he needed assistance. To get back home, he needed assistance. To get a meal, he needed assistance. Y'all ain't helping me. To do everything in his life, he needed assistance. And he's gotten addicted to having other folk do stuff for him. So I believe when Jesus said, rise, ain't nobody run to help him up so Jesus could show him you can get up by yourself. I wish I could talk to somebody, because some of y'all in here got assistance addiction. You've been addicted to other people doing for you, and you don't realize that while you're addicted to them doing for you, they're addicted to doing for you, because they ain't got a life outside of you needing them for them to feel needed. So Jesus has to break the addiction and show you that what you've been looking for other people to do, you can do it for yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, rise. That was the wrong neighbor. Look at somebody else and tell them, rise. That was the wrong neighbor. Look at somebody else and tell them, you can get up on your own. You don't need that Negro to pay your bills. You don't need the government to help you. You can get up and do it for yourself. I wish I had a witness in here today. And can I tell you, don't nobody scare the devil like somebody who gets up. Because the last time somebody got up on him, he suffered the greatest defeat of his life. Anybody want to give the devil a flashback? Then I dare you to get up on your own and show the devil I can get up by myself. Is there anybody in here who can say, I'm getting up by myself? Grab your neighbor by the hand and shake them and rock them and rock them and shake them and shake them and rock them and tell them 2011 is the year you gonna get up by your... Woo! You gonna learn to do it for yourself. by yourself. If don't nobody help you, by yourself. If don't nobody come to your rescue, by yourself. If don't nobody help you praise him, you gonna praise him by yourself. You gonna be sitting around everybody who ain't doing nothing, but you gonna give it to him for yourself.
The Lord wants to show you that you have the power within yourself. To do what you've been waiting on other folk to do. Stop depending on people who may not be there. Because the folk who were assisting him, watch this. You know what they had to do? Pick him up, put him down. Pick him up, but slow over here. Pick him up, put him down. Slow over here. Pick him up. Negroes are sometimes. One week they'll pick you up. And the same ones that picked you up, the next week they'll... So I might as well depend on somebody who will never leave me or forsake me, who will always stand by my side, who will always walk with me. I'm just going to trust in him. Take somebody and tell them 2011 is the year I'm going to trust in him. Rise. Just nudge your neighbor. Don't look at him. Tell him, rise. Don't look at him. Tell him, you can do it on your own. You. Haven't you lived long enough to know people will come and people will go? Haven't you lived long enough to know the folk that smile in your face all the time, they trying to take your place back? Haven't you lived long enough to know that the only one you can count on 24/7 is the Lord your God? Watch this. Jesus says, rise. Rise, take up and carry your mat. Walk out of here carrying what is the evidence of the condition you've been living with. Don't throw it away. Carry it. Can I tell you tonight, the reason some of y'all ought to shout is because the evidence that you're whole is that you're walking, wait, but you're still carrying some stuff. You thought carrying it meant that God hadn't healed you. The fact that you can carry it is evidence of your deliverance. See, the folks sitting next to you have no clue you still carrying some stuff. Because you done smiled, you done shouted, you dressed up good, you look like you got a whole lot of money. But I dare you to take somebody by the hand and tell them you carry it very well. No, that was the wrong neighbor. Look at somebody else and tell them, I like the way you carry it. You're carrying it with joy. You're carrying it with a smile. You're carrying it with thanksgiving. You're carrying it lifting up your hands. I didn't know you were dealing with all that. I didn't know you still didn't have a job. I didn't know you were still sick. I didn't know you were still broke. And tonight you ought to shout. Because with everything you're carrying, you still made it to worship. With everything you're carrying, you still woke up with your mind stayed on Jesus. With everything you're carrying, shake
somebody's hand and tell them you're carrying it well. You're carrying it well. See, the stuff that you carry becomes the testimony that your embarrassment has turned into your empowerment. The stuff you carry becomes the evidence and testimony of the fact that the Lord has brought you through. Now watch this. Wait, y'all sit down. I'm just talking. Watch this. Excess. The man goes to church carrying the evidence of his previous condition. Huh? Huh? When you go to church, carry your mat with you. Okay. I get so tired of these stuck up, holier than thou, I ain't never did nothing, sticking they nose up church folk who sit in church like they stuff don't stink. I'm looking for a few folk tonight who can say, when I come to church, I'm carrying everything the Lord done brought me through. Because what makes me shout ain't the car and the house and the job and the money, but what makes me shout is everything he brought me through that becomes the testimony of where he brought me to. Do I have any ride or die saints in here who can say, I ain't leaving it in the house, I ain't leaving it in the car, I'm walking in here with my mat? Yes, I was addicted. Yes, I was in jail. Yes, I was a hoe. Yes, I was a player. Yes, I was a drunk. But since I met Jesus, what a wonderful change. Makes me feel like preaching in my life has been wrought. Say, I wish you would look at your neighbor and tell him, if you saw my mat, you wouldn't want to sit by me. If you saw my mat, you wouldn't want me in your church. But you need to know I ain't ashamed of nothing the Lord brought me out of, because it becomes my testimony. If it had not been for the Lord on my side. Oh my God, watch this. Watch. Tell your neighbor, keep your mat with you. Keep it with you. Keep. It'll make you shout. It'll make you shout. Keep your mat. Now watch. The church folk got mad. Church folk. Church folk. The church folk got mad that somebody who'd been at the house of mercy got mercy. Church folk. The church folk. The church folk. The church folk got mad that the brother walking, carrying his mat, they were so caught up on their legalistic rules that their legalistic rules could not let them be free enough to celebrate the fact that the brother got delivered. See, church folk who get addicted to rules don't know how to be free enough when the Lord breaks the rules. Yeah, you know folk who tied to denomination and tied, y'all done got real quiet on me now, tied to the church having a certain kind of culture and climate. We don't do that over here. We don't act like that over here. Don't come over here with all of that. Don't come in here with all that mess. But can I tell you, when the Lord has done something for you, you don't really care who don't like it. Because sometimes folk not liking it become the evidence that you got it. Sometimes you don't know you got it till folks start not liking. Wait, hold on. Hold on. Text says something I don't want you to miss. Because the brother didn't know who it was. He was like, I don't know. I don't know who he is. All I know is dude told me to rise, take up my bed,
And the text says, Jesus found him. I'm getting up out of here. Happy New Year. There are two reasons I think Jesus found. Because the word in the Greek, koinonia text, is very interesting. Because the implication of the word there is that Jesus went looking for him. And wouldn't stop searching. Help me preach. I bet not do that. That I'm dropping that on you for free. Do you know why some of y'all are in here tonight with all your jacked up dysfunctional history? Because he kept on searching. Don't sit in here and act like all of us are like this brother. He didn't find all of us in church. But the good news is, wherever you were, he found you. God help me in here tonight. Well, watch that. Watch. I think there are two reasons. Two reasons. The brother has been lame, and he's walking. Matthew 11, when John was in prison, John sent some of the boys, said, listen, if he's really Jesus, I ain't got no business in this prison. Go ask him, are you the Christ? Or should we look for another? Because if you're really the Christ, I ain't got no business going through what I'm going through. Do y'all remember what Jesus said? Go back. Tell him what you see. Don't miss this. Because what you see is the evidence that I'm the Christ. One of the things that Jesus told him to go back and tell him that you see is that the lame get up and walk. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. The brother was lame, and Jesus healed him so that the brother becomes a part of the record of the evidence that Jesus is exactly who he said he is. Can I tell you tonight that when the Lord heals you, you become a part of the record of evidence that he is exactly who he said he is. Can I tell you tonight that when the Lord does something for you, you become evidence and you become a recognition and recommendation on his resume. That when folk want to know that he is the one, they ain't got to always go to the Bible. All they got to do is ask you. Because if they ask you, you'll give them evidence that he is who he said he is. But there's one more reason. Preacher's going to shout. The pool is near the sheep gate. Going to the feast to get in the temple, every man from every house had to bring a lamb that represented the blood covering for that house. The brother went to church during the time of the feast. How do you go from the pool to the temple without proper qualification? You at the sheep gate, but you ain't got no lamb. Slow over here. So for him to be qualified to be in the temple during the feast, he got to have a lamb. Y'all ain't got it yet. When Jesus found him, the man found the Lamb of God. And when he found the Lamb of God, he had the qualifications he needed to hang out in the party. Would you grab somebody by the hand real quick and tell them, I'm qualified to be here. And I'm not qualified on my intellect. I'm not qualified on my degree. I'm not qualified on my social status. But I'm qualified because the Lamb of God qualified me to be in the temple. See, folk don't shout on that kind of stuff no more. We shout on getting cars and getting houses and getting money. But every now and then, you ought to just shout because the Lamb of God qualified you to be in the house. I tell you to high-five somebody and tell them, I'm in the house because of the blood of the Lamb. I'm giving God the glory because the blood of the Lamb. I'm giving God the honor
because of the blood of the Lamb. Is there anybody in here who can help me close this and say, I'm shouting tonight because of the blood of the Lamb? Keep the house, keep the car, keep the money. I'ma shout because Jesus shed his blood. I got to get out of here. But is there anybody up in this room tonight who ain't ashamed to stand on your feet and say the only reason I'm in the house tonight is because of the blood of the Lamb? The only reason I'm not dead like I should have been is because the blood of the Lamb. The only reason I'm not sick in my body is because he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I have been healed. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell your neighbor, neighbor, you can have the house, you can have the car, you can have the money. I'ma shout on the blood. That was the wrong neighbor. Find somebody else and tell them, you can shout over the job, you can shout over the marriage, you can shout over your house, you can shout over your car. But when I shout, I'm shouting because I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood that saved me. Is there anybody in here who can thank God for his blood? His blood keeps you. His blood sustains you. His blood holds. His blood picks you up. So the man ran back and tell him, now I know who it was that healed me. It was Jesus, the Lamb of God. I dare somebody tonight to tell your neighbor, I know who did it for me. It was nobody but Jesus. That was the wrong neighbor. Leave your seat and find somebody and tell them, now I know it was nobody but Jesus. That was the wrong neighbor. I dare you tonight to break the rules of the house. Get up out of your seat. Find you a shouting partner and tell them, it was nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus could heal my body. Nobody but Jesus could dry my tears. Nobody but Jesus could restore my joy. Nobody but Jesus could regulate my mind. Nobody but Jesus could make a way out of no way. That's why Joy says, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Good night, Bethel. May the Lord God bless you real good. But is there anybody in here who can help me close this sermon and wave your hand and say, it was nobody? I said nobody. Nobody but Jesus. When the doctor gave up on me, it was nobody but Jesus. When the doctor said I'd never preach again, it was nobody but Jesus. When the doctor said I'd never sing again, it was nobody but Jesus. When the folks said Bethel was over, it was nobody but Jesus. When the doctor said to my daddy, you might not walk like you used to walk, it was nobody but Jesus. But I might have a witness tonight who can say, you ain't by yourself. When I look over my life and see what the Lord has done, I got to wave my hand and say, it was nobody, nobody, nobody but Jesus. High five three people and tell them, nobody but Jesus. That's why I shout like I shout. That's why I scream like I scream. That's why I holler like I holler. That's why I run like I run. Because he walks with me. And talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. So I'ma put my hand in Jesus' hand. I'ma lean on him, because when I'm weak, he'll make me strong. When I'm tired, he'll restore my joy. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he fight your battles? Won't he make your enemies your footstool? Won't he give you joy and sorrow? Won't he give you hope for tomorrow? Won't he dry your tears? Won't he, won't he, won't he, won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he, won't he, won't he, won't he? Somebody say yeah. Yeah. To myself, because I can look back over my life and thank God that nobody but Jesus made a way for me. Nobody but Jesus opened doors for me. Nobody but Jesus restored my voice. Nobody but Jesus is restoring my daddy. Nobody but Jesus put this church back together. Nobody but Jesus binds up the broken heart. Nobody but Jesus can fix your marriage. Nobody but Jesus can restore your child. Shake three people's hand and tell them nobody, 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 nobody. Yeah. Ah, yes. Ah, yes. Ah. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Say yes. Yes.
Happy, let's go, come on.
encouraging you all day long. Jesus in the Morning Radio with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bishop Rudolph McKissick Jr. this morning of Bethel Church in Jacksonville, Florida. Ah, yeah, it's all right today in Jesus' name. And the title of his message this morning was Just When You Least Expect It. And he talked about the man over at the pool, I believe it could have been the porch called Solomon. But anyway, the man told him that he didn't have nobody to put him in the water. You know, Jesus asked him, you know, if he wanted to be healed and everything. And he said he didn't have nobody to put him in the water. Every time he was coming, another person would step down, but he didn't even have to be concerned about the water no more, or the angels troubling the water. God went on and healed him right there. And that's what we got to believe, you know, just what we least expecting, God is coming in to do it. It all starts with our faith. It all starts with what's in us. Are we allowing the Spirit of God to move in us? Is he really the God of our lives? Are we trusting him? Are we obeying him? Because we want many things from God. But what are we giving him that we can get these things from him? Brother Lou and I was over there talking. Yeah, he couldn't get in first, but he was coming. So he had to be crawling to wash the pool every time. But somebody always beat him there because they could walk and he crawling. So they stepped in before him. Excuse me. And once the angels was through trouble in the water, you couldn't get no more. And I often share this. We don't want to move before God. We don't want to move after him. We want to move while he's moving. Because if we move while he's moving, we're going to get all the benefits that we couldn't even imagine. We'll get stuff. Yeah, because he's that kind of God. Yeah. He believe in giving. And he believe in giving more than you expected. I prayed for things, and the Lord said yes, and he began to fulfill the prayer that I prayed. He began to give me what I wanted, and he went beyond what I asked for. Yeah, I was looking for this little bit right here, but he gave me much more, and so I'm grateful. I'm grateful unto him. I can remember I prayed for seven. I wanted seven sons, no girls. He went beyond that. And gave me eight, huh? Eight. And so this morning, I thank God for him. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for more. Thank God for what you expecting is going to be more. Just when you're least expecting something, God is coming in to give you a great something. Yeah. And so we trust him this morning. We thank him today. There's none like him. And we can search all over. We won't find nobody. Nobody greater than Almighty God, hallelujah, the true and living God that have all power, the God that can speak light into existence, the God that made man from the dirt. Yeah, I was sharing that with somebody on yesterday, I think it was too, that we come from dirt, and we want to be all of that. Yeah, although he brought Eve from Adam's rib, they say, yet she come from dirt because she come from what was dirt. Yeah. So we need to stop all of the thinking we are more than we are, and we want to look this way to the world and look that way. And, you know, we just want to be so intellectual and so educated and so smart. And God can't use all of that foolishness. Not all the time, but he can use it. Sometime, but what he want to use is you spiritually. That's what God wants. He want to use us spiritually to be a blessing to each other and to be a blessing to strangers, be a blessing unto your family. Yeah. I don't care what my family say about me. I am a blessing to them. Because of my prayers, many things has gone good for them, my family members. And what this is the way that I am. I'm your relative. I don't have to be with you every day, all day, at the family reunion, on your birthday. I don't have to do any of that. But when I feel moved to come and see you, I go and see them, whoever they are in my family. And they looking crazy at me. I don't know why you're looking crazy, because I'm your relative. You know me. I truly know you and what? Yeah. And we just start talking. In my household, we didn't get up and say, good morning, good morning, good. That's not how we rolled in my house. We woke up and started talking. Yeah. We just started talking to one another. At other people's house, I had been gone there, and I would hear them say, you didn't say good morning. You didn't sleep with me last night, but I slept in the same house. You know, I don't know what all the good morning and all of that is about. And we slept under the same roof. But at our house, we just got up and started our day. After prayer, we started our day. And anything happened, I call them eight together, even that baby. And we prayed. I was in Alabama. Them four younger ones were still there. When I had to pray, I called them four in there. Let's pray. Yeah, the second oldest daughter, she said, told me the other day, she said, you know what, Mama, she said, you used to make me come to the prayer circle. You didn't call Robin, you didn't call Chavez, you didn't call Portia, you would call me, Kalea, come in, touch and agree. She said that I could see Chavez them through the window playing in the yard. She said, and I said to myself, I want to go out there in the yard and play too. And you will get to go out there and play. After we pray. See, because she was gifted, still is. She's still gifted. And I just believe when a child prays from a sincere heart, because see, they don't know how to be messy. They don't know how to be liars. They don't know how to be somebody's real enemy just yet on purpose, you know, just low down and dirty. And so when I called her, she would pray from a sincere heart. And it would cause God to move. And especially praying for others. I have had women that come over and request prayer. I said, come on, Kalea, let's pray. And they would be looking at me. She got the little girl. Yeah, because that little girl going to get your prayer answered. Yeah, I'm touching and agreeing with the little girl to get what you need from God. Yeah. So I assume we had a kind of strange household. We believed in a lot of singing. Whenever we got together, that's what it was about, food and singing. Mm-hmm. If they come here right now, if three of my kids, two of them, can show up at that door, when they come in, the first thing they're going to say after they look at my refrigerator, that's another habit they had. They wash their hands, they're going to look in the refrigerator, then they're going to start really talking. And they'll say, have you heard this one yet? And whoever brought the song to the other one, they'll say, hey, sing that for Ma. Let Ma hear a little bit of that. I can remember I came back here from Fairbanks, Alaska, and the three youngest daughters, I should say, showed up at the house. And the second oldest one, she said, let's sing I Am God for Ma. And I had heard it, but I never knew the name of it, and I never did just, you know, seek it out, you know. And so they sang, I Am God. And that second oldest one, she would jazz it all up. I'm looking at her. Yeah, that's what we do. A birthday party in our family, we go to sing. And we sang in gospel songs. Yeah. And my son, A.L., he was the leader of the pack. Because he was the first one we found out who could sing pretty good. And then he trained that oldest daughter that passed away. He trained her. And they somewhat sounded a blend alike, but she had a different style. Yeah. But God blessed the family. Uh-huh. The prayers of Mary Pittman, my grandmother on my dad's side, remaining to bless that family even today. And I told my kids all of this. And I sang them a song when they was little. I trained them to this song. And many days for my birthday, when they would come, they would sing that song because that's what I taught them. Yeah. Everybody's family is different, you know. And another thing, we are cooking and we are eating. We used to do a Thanksgiving breakfast. And my oldest daughter and my third oldest son would come early in the morning, like 5:30. One would get started on the biscuits and the bacon. I had made the biscuits the night before. Maybe I made 60 biscuits. And when they get there, I would put them in the oven, and they would watch the biscuits. And one would stir the grits. And as, you know, the family started coming in, we would start the eggs. And the table was set up buffet style. You get your plate, you know, and your condiments, your jelly and your butter and whatever, and you go on. I wasn't a coffee drinker, so we didn't really have coffee, but juice and, you know, water. And some people wanted a Coke with their breakfast. You know, I'm like, it's too early in the morning for all that sugar. But anyway, that's what we did. And then before they left to go, we was breaking out in some songs. Yeah, I can remember one year I had a big tubular TV. And they left and went, they got together and bought me a television, a bigger one. And I heard the knock Christmas morning on the door. And when I went to, I opened the door, it was this huge box. And I got the box and was struggling to bring it in, but I managed to get it on in, did it a few minutes. I saw my son walk around from the side of the house. I said, oh, okay. He's like, yeah, we just wanted to surprise you. Yeah. Christmas tree up, gifts halfway, this big, huge, 6 feet tall tree. And we all got together. Because, see, one thing about family I learned over the years, teeth and tongue fall out. But I every time I bit my tongue, I never turned around and pulled all my teeth or pulled my tongue out. No, I left the set in there because I was going to need them again. And many times we don't understand. But just when you're least expecting, God will show up on the scene and make it right for you. Yeah. Maybe you and your family have been separated, or you and a friend, or whoever it may be. Because sometimes people say things and they don't really mean it. Now, when you're angry, sometimes you'll say some things. You do not mean that. You're just saying that because you're angry. Yeah, but when the smoke clear, everybody, you know, go back together. And that's the way family should be. And I have had to tell some, look, now, don't come back over here of reminding them of that. They said they were sorry. Let it go now. That's over with. Let's don't keep that going. Yeah. And then they understand, oh, yeah, you're right about that. We really need to let that go. Yeah. Because we family, and family should love one another. Nobody in the family should hate the other. But you don't understand. Now, you got to have forgiveness in your heart, because God has forgiven you when you ask for. And he said, if we don't forgive, he can't forgive us. Now, that's what he says. So just when you least expecting, and I played this before, and I didn't even realize it, that it was being played again, but God had a reason for this morning. Not me, but him. He had a purpose and a plan why he allowed this message to be played again today. Mm-hmm. And we accept what God allows. We better off. We are better off anyway. And that's one of the big things as a believer we must learn to do. Work on it. Pray about it. Seek God about it. Accepting what he allows. Because in this life, some things may come your way. Big things. And you want to be able to handle the big thing, hallelujah, that God allowed to come your way. And you want strength in him. And it's all right today, I tell you, in Jesus' name. Yeah, Lord, we thank him. Because we really do have to live a godly life. If we say we are believers, we say we're Christians, we say we're the people of God, we're saying we're going back with him when he comes, then there are some things required of us. Yeah. And the only way we're going to be able to do these things is we have to live a life before him that is pleasing and acceptable by Almighty God. Not acceptable by your family standards, you know, the job standards, but it must be acceptable unto Almighty God, because God just really don't accept any old thing. Now, I got to tell you the truth right there, because now in the first initial stages, I better go back here. When we first come to him, he will in no wise cast us out. Why is that, Barbara? Because I'm coming as a babe. I don't understand some things. I don't know some things. But now after we learned and we learned the truth, it's time for us to get it right with God. And now we learn it. He just don't accept any every old thing. He can't unless he's changing it. See, once he changed me, I couldn't go back out and see him do the same thing. I couldn't go back out to stealing, lying, cheating, taking the bank money. Oh, no, I couldn't go back to that. See, because he changed it from the inside. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. But many think they can stay on their same journey and keep doing the same thing and yet saying, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. Everybody today say they're Christians, but I know that they are different kinds. Some people don't even understand to be a Christian, you follow the pattern of Jesus. You do what he did. The main thing he did was please the Father. Are we pleasing God? Mm-hmm. Are we pleasing God? Are we obeying the word? Or do we have this form of godliness and we deny the power thereof? But that's easy to have. It's easy to have a form of godliness, self-righteousness. Oh, my goodness, let me tell you something. It's easy to have all of that. It's easy to see what everybody else is doing, but not what I'm doing. Yeah, it's easy for me to point my finger over there at you. Louis, you're not doing this, and Louis, you're not doing that, but well, I can't see myself. I refuse to see myself, and you better not try to tell me I ain't holy and righteous. Yeah. But we got to surrender our all to Almighty God. He's looking for those who will sell out to him. He's looking to those who want a real relationship and not a form of godliness. He's not looking for those who honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from it. He's looking for those that their heart and their lips line up together. Yeah, that's what God is looking for. Uh-huh. And he needs some bold soldiers. He needs some people that's going to stand up for him, wave that bloodstained banner. They're the kind of that sit on the hill that can't be hid. That's what he's looking for. In church, they can do all kind of stuff. But once they leave the church, it's a whole nother life they're living. To me, it's like they're ashamed of God in the public, on the job, you know. You ask them about church, they freeze up. When you open your mouth and you just begin to praise God anywhere, people go to looking at you weird, strange, because that's not what they're accustomed to. I praise him anywhere. Don't go anywhere with me. Because I might break out of praise right there in the Starbucks. Huh? Right there in Walmart. Yeah, because he's been good to me. I've gone in stores and what I went for was on sale. I prayed before I left. He said, acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll direct your path. Got there and the stuff was on sale. And right there where it was on sale, I began to lift my hands and tell him thank you. Could care less who looking, who have something to say. With Jesus on my side, that's all I know. Things will work out right. I'm going to make it. Yeah, look at me any kind of way you choose. You might not want to hang out with me too often. Yeah, Because we out in the public and I'm praising God. We out in the public and I stop a stranger and he used my mouth to bless the stranger. See, you'll be embarrassed over all that kind of stuff because you got that form of godliness and you denying the power thereof. Huh? Yeah, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus, you see. Apostle Paul taught me some things. He said, Barbara, in other words, that word have power, the gospel have power to save. I couldn't help but agree with him. It saved me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, the studio is open this morning. If there's someone who has something they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come on in this morning and while we go to another one. And if you got something to say, yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We go into this one.
Radio not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good. He is good. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. And we're grateful unto him this morning. We appreciate him. We love him. We know that we can't make it without him. And we need him today. We need him. I'm telling you, I need him. I can't make it. Hallelujah. I need his leadership. I need his guidance this morning. Hallelujah. And it's good. It's good leadership. It's great guidance. Yeah. He's going to guide you in the right path for his name's sake. Yeah, he's going to lead you to the rock that's higher than you. Hallelujah. Yeah, he's going to lead you to his word. He'll lead you to a spirit of obedience. Hallelujah. Mm. A spirit of praise. Yeah, Lord. Hallelujah. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you this morning. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for all your gratefulness, all your wonderfulness. We thank you for everything you've given unto us. Father, you made these old bodies, even in your image, God. Oh, you gave us a heart. You gave us a mind. Gave us a brain. Gave us eyes to see, a mouth to speak. Lord, you're wonderful. You're truly awesome. Words can't describe who you are and what you've done for us. Oh, we're ever grateful unto you this morning. And Father, we love you, for it was you who first loved us. Oh, we bow down and worship you this day in spirit and in truth. Father, there's none like you. Oh, we love you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Sister Jerry, I'm bringing you in right now. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Sister Barbara. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am blessed. Can't complain, Jerry.
I am, too. I mean, we brought back memories on that warming. Those, I used to go there every Friday to get me the chicken salad on pumpkin nickel bread.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that dessert. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I haven't found another sandwich shop like it. I've searched all over. Couldn't find another one.
Mm-mm.
You know, they didn't serve pork. They did. It was a religious team that didn't do pork, but the chicken salad was all I needed on pumpernickel bread.
Yeah, they at first it was just the bakery, and then when they moved down on Broad Street, they moved to Broad Street. Then they added the sandwich shop in there and other little things.
They knew what time I'd be in because I would always run. I worked way deep down in Bay Mathers.
Okay.
But I would go to San Jose to get my sandwich. Oh, she would have it ready for me. I cash out and go. Didn't even have to wait in line. Just leave the money and go, bye, Miss Jerry, bye.
Yeah,
and I had my chocolate cake every Friday.
Okay, where they have the new courthouse is. Across the street, down to the right, there used to be right down there, and that's the one. I went to San Jose a few times. Uh huh. And they had Cunningham furniture.
They have another sandwich shop that's just good. It's called Tidbits. Have you been there?
Wait, now say that again, Jerry.
Have you tried the new sandwich shop called Tidbits?
I haven't tried that one yet.
I'll introduce you to it. But first of all, I just want to tell God, thank you.
Man.
Thank you, God. Thank
yes,
you for
Lord.
The renewing of that message. I heard it the first time, but this time I really heard it. I heard Bishop when he said, they said I wouldn't preach again.
Mm-hmm.
When they knew that's what he enjoyed doing. Oh, but they said his daddy wouldn't walk again. Like, but don't pay attention to what man say. God is all powerful.
Mm-hmm.
What man say does not measure up to what God says. And today I want to tell God thank you.
Man.
I don't care what my bills look like. I don't care what my life look like. God is all powerful. And he's got a way.
Hallelujah.
He's got a way of turning bad news into good news.
Amen.
You just got to wait.
Yeah. Yes.
Our God has got a way of showing us love when some people just turn their back on us. Our God got a way.
Yes.
When someone says it's over, God says, no, no. They don't know the beginning of the story. They're at the end. They see the past. They don't know what I have in store. So today,
amen.
I want to tell God, thank you.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I want to tell you, thank you. I want to send prayers out to that deputy who was 29 years old, planning to get married. He got shot in the face and shot in the back. They're having a recession. But Lord, Lord, Lord. But that was God's will. So we want to just send prayers out to the family. I want to send prayers out to the family. And God's been good to all. God's been good to me and you. Every day he allows us to put our feet on the floor. He might not allow me to walk around all day, but he allowed me this minute, this time, and this hour. And I tell him, thank you. I thank you. I'm so happy to be in the family of Jesus in the morning. I'm so happy that we have Brother Louis, Sister Rita. I'm so happy that we have Brother Frank, Brother Anthony, Sister Sion, Apostle Bullwright. I'm so happy for all of these people because when they come on, they help. They help the program, and then they help you feel good about yourself. We never know who's going through some type of depression. We're coming up on the season when it's the holidays, when, I don't know, people just get in a down spirit. So I want to keep everyone lifted each day and let them know God has not forgotten his promise nor his plan for our lives. And I thank Jesus for that today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. For he is good, for he is good, for he is worthy, worthy, yeah, for he is good. Oh, yeah, for he is good. Brother Lewis said, hey, Sister Jerry, oh, give thanks. I want a double take on that one, a double shot unto the Lord. For
tell him we can eat plenty of cake starting in November.
Oh, my goodness, Jerry on cake, Jerry on cake, Lewis. You know, it don't take much for Louis to join that cake bandwagon with you now. Yeah, he liked them good roasts.
Yeah, cake and dressing and gravy and rice. Ooh, we're going to be eating good in November.
She on Thanksgiving, y'all. She is on Thanksgiving already.
I've already skipped October.
Okay. And went right on to Thanksgiving. So we're going to have some cake. That's her thing, pie and cake. Yes, sir. I thank God I'm doing a little bit better, and I'm working on doing even better, and because I really need to work. Look at Louis to my dang. I really need to work on these pounds and get some pounds.
I can't believe we're coming at the end of the year, Barbara. I can't look like we just ended in this year.
Yes. We Friday, is it this Friday? I think we'll be in the 10th month.
Friday's the first.
Yeah, the 10th month of the year. Yeah.
It is coming right along, and I thank God that he's allowed me to see this day.
Yes.
He hasn't promised me tomorrow, and yesterday is a counted cake.
Yes.
But he allowed me so much in this day, and I hope he allowed me to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
Never say that his will be done.
Yes, Lord. Want to say good morning to your Sister Sion, the shoe lady back. You back home, I think. And she went for a tour yesterday and everything, and she wasn't able to be here. But I looked this morning, and I saw that 407. I said, oh, look who down there. Good morning to you, Evangelist Robin Lynn Maven. Good morning to you, my Nikki. Good morning to you, Sister Rita. And Brother Anthony this morning, Sister Simone, good morning to you. Good morning to you, Sister Andrea Spinner and Sister Diane. God bless you, Sister Diane. Thank you for the call yesterday. And good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman and Sister Jerry. And good morning to you, Sister Kim Hopps, Sister Mary Ann, Sister Melanie Rose, Sister Angela in California, Sister Laura, Mr. Mason, and Miss Deborah, Sister Alexis, Lachelle, Sister Andrea in Philadelphia, Keisha, and Sister Anna Lee Foote, and Sister Angela Foote. Good morning, Mama. God bless you all over there. And thank you so much, Sister Angela. God bless you, baby. God bless you. Good morning to you, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne, and our very own Apostle Claudia. Both right. Yeah, all up out of Philadelphia. Hallelujah. Good morning to you again, Brother Louis and Brother Jermaine and Brother Anthony and Brother D, Brother Dan, Brother Mike Hopps, and I saw Brother Mike in Orlando and Brother Calvin this morning, and I saw Brother George West Perry over in the chat room earlier. Good morning to you, Brother Perry, and Brother Lee Hamilton. Good morning to you, and Brother Marquez Griffin, Brother Justin Gilmore, Brother Frank. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. We thank God for each and every one of you. Thank God for those coming through the archives and the podcast. I just thank God for every caller and every listener. And I call us the faithful few. And we come faithfully every morning to see what it is God is going to do for us. And we thank him for his word, because if we stand on his word, he's going to bless us. And after standing, that word is going to bless us some more. We just have to be faithful unto the word of God and standing on it. Yeah, we have to have patience to wait on him. Hallelujah. And so we thank him, and he knows what's best for us today. And I'm just happy and excited this morning because I saw the hand of the Lord and how he's moving. And I felt the Spirit touch me many times. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, look at God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And some days I'd be so excited in here, people would think I've earned $1 million or somebody's given me $1 million, and I'm just rejoicing. I'm just looking at the things that he does. He keep me breathing. He keep me alive. He keep my mind fresh. 64 years old. I forget some things now. Don't get it twisted. But for the main part, I can remember way back. I sent my grandson some pumpernickel bread, and I sent a chocolate cake over there and sodas, and gave the dad some money to go buy a whole bunch of chicken and biscuits and stuff and Popeye. And he said when the grandson, my oldest grandson, when he saw the cake, he said, oh, my grandmama remembered. She remembered what I like. Yeah, boy, he in his 20s now. And I guess he think I'm 64. I'm too old to remember when he was a baby. You know, I guess he think I'm too old to remember. I took him to his first poetry slam. He wrote a poem that says, have you ever wanted something so bad? And when he did the poem, he had emphasis with it and movements with it. And he sat in a chair with his fist on his chin thinking, how would he get this thing he wanted? And when he completed his poem, he got a standing ovation. I met this man, Jim Whitaker, and he was running for mayor. And God told me to tell him he would be the next mayor, and he was. And they did a parade, and I worked on Jim's campaign, and I joined the parade, me and that same grandson. And he said, give me this boy. He took my grandson by the hand, and away he went. And I was in the truck riding, and when people saw me, they were like, hey, Evangelist Mike, hey. And so when we got back to the campaign headquarters, he said, hey, Barbara. I said, yeah. He said, Barbara, you know quite a few people. I said, yeah. Because y'all know I was big in the church arena. Yeah, y'all know I went from place to place trying to meet everybody, trying to see who wanted to be my brother or sister in Christ. Because, you know, where I come from, they don't connect with you like that right quick, right fast. They sitting back watching you, you know, and the scripture says watch as well as pray. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to, you know, wrath. But if you got the Spirit of God in you, that thing should turn when a brother or sister in Christ come along. That Spirit in you will agree with the Spirit in them. But see, somebody haven't been standing on the word. Somebody haven't been seeking God, you know, until it's time for them to preach on Sunday or something. But when you seek him every day, it's a rare occasion he lets stuff sneak up on you. And if anything happens, it's yet going to work together for your good. He allowed it. There's a purpose for it. And he don't always tell us his business. He never tell me, hey, Barbara, tomorrow I'm going to let it rain, and my reason for letting it rain, Barbara, he don't do all of that. That's his business. He made the heavens and the earth. Some things he will allow us to know, and some things he say nothing about. We just have to trust him. That's that trusting moment. Hallelujah. That's that Proverbs 3:5-7 moment. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. I love it. Yeah. And so I thank God this morning for each of you. I tell you the truth. I love you. I love you. And I look forward to the area codes of being in here. I see my 708 in a minute. But I look forward to those area codes and phone numbers. I look forward to seeing Louis in the chat room. Yeah. I look forward to playing different songs and the Lord give me different things to say. Because y'all got to know I'm not that smart to do all of this. Only by his grace and his mercy, most of all his love for us. Yeah, that he show up and do what he's got to do this morning. So I'm thankful. All right, Miss C, I made it home safe. That's a good thing. And I think they said Friday they're opening the whole, entire country back up. So we got to see what's going to happen. And when we, if we can, get to the point where we're comfortable enough to travel, I'd love for us to cruise somewhere together. Yeah, I'd love for us to cruise. And get that $3.99 cruise. It probably went up to $4.99 now, the 3-day over in Bahamas. Because I can't be gone too long, and some of you can't be gone too long, but maybe we can come together and set a date when we all can go for 3 days and 4 nights, or 4 days and 3 nights, something like that. And we take that $4.99 and run on across the water, go over there and eat some Bahamian food, and come back. Eat good on the ship. Yeah, I ate good when I went to the Bahamas. Yeah, at night, I got back to the room, I would be so tired because I'm running up and down the ship. A friend went with me, and he told me, so, okay, now, you need to let me know where you're going with all this stuff, because when your family asks me what happened to you, I'm not going to be asking. Well, you won't have to tell them nothing, because nothing's going to happen to me. I met some people on the ship, ministered to them people, bought some people some pictures, and they didn't have the money to, you know, buy. You know, when you first come on the ship, they just snapping pictures. Because, see, they want to get that money out your pocket. And so they had taken these pictures of the women and their husbands and everything. And the ladies that I met, their husbands were doctors. The first set, I met these sisters. And one sister had passed, and her daughter was left. And another sister took the daughter. And I began to minister to these people. And they were blessed. The next morning, I went to breakfast my last morning on the ship. Because I didn't want to get off them people's ship. I did not want to get off it. I won't lie. I enjoyed the room service. I run out the room and come back. The bed made. They got a tower on the bed shaped like a duck or something. I just enjoyed it. And the gratitude wasn't that expensive. But I, you know, would leave them a tip and thing. And they bring fresh linen and all of this kind of thing. And I just enjoyed myself. And I could call late night if I wanted something, and I could call down there and get me a sandwich and a drink, yeah, and watch videos. Yeah, I just had a wonderful time. So maybe we can do something like that. Just go on the cruise. Don't plan no church service, no meeting, no nothing. Just go and enjoy the cruise. Yeah, go swimming on the ship. But I want to go in the summer. I don't like that winter thing. But we go in the summer and enjoy then later on in the year, if God says the same, maybe we can plan a trip to Alaska for those who can go. And we go over there. And I don't want to go to a place I don't really, tourist kind of stuff. That I want to go to where I know, where I can take you to the store. You know, I can show you the churches where I used to attend, and you can see the real people down there. That's what I want. Because when you're touring, you know, they fix things up like Disney. Orlando got so many ugly spots, it's ridiculous. But they show you all the good for Orlando. With Disney, how that Kissimmee and all of that, please. I want to take you down and let you see what's going on. And I still know people there, you know. And so God is good. All right, Brother Anthony, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you, sir. How are you?
That's highly favored. Good morning to you, Ms. Barbara. Good morning to everybody. Just want to, first of all, give God thanks for waking me up this morning. Thank you for allowing me to see another day. Thank you for life, health, and strength, keeping me on my right mind, allowing me to see another day. Thank you for the activity of my health. And I want to say good morning to everybody. Good morning to you, to you, Ms. Barbara, to Jerry, for the Lewis, for the Frank, to South Lord, people and family, for you, Sister Kim, Dion, Brother Dean, Sister Rose, Sister Brown, Brother Jermaine, good morning to you. Sister Rita, Samoa, morning to everybody. Trying to think of their name, but nevertheless, it's best to be here again another day. You know, just thank God for being able to fellowship and do some spiritual food in my belly on this wonderful Tuesday morning.
We got you, Brother Anthony, so they're cracking down on the phone. Okay, even if you have the Bluetooth in your ear, you think, Brother Anthony?
Well, really, you ain't supposed to have no, you know, you ain't supposed to have no Bluetooth.
Okay, I got you.
They got the trucks. I'm talking to you right now through the truck. They got like a Bluetooth thing in them, but
although I guess, I had a couple of accidents, people making it to some of the vehicles and stuff, so they just tightened me down on the telephone. All right, I got you. That devil always trying to come up with something. Yeah. Always trying to push something. God is faithful. Well, what is a Congress-approved stimulus Medicare? What is this? What I tell you every time I turn around, they have something going on. Something, something, something. I'm like, wow. Can they give it a break over here, please? Well, Brother Lord, that was fun. Oh, I had big fun. I ate sub sandwiches, and they had a pizzeria. I could go over to the pizzeria and get me some pizza, you know, 10 o'clock at night if I wanted to, but I just wasn't eating what I normally would eat. You know, I went to the captain's table, ate dinner, yeah, and left from there and went on through that ship running and looking. And you know, when I hear music, I'm going to stop and check it. And that was this man, he was playing his guitar, and I stopped and listened, and then I went on, met people, and just had a ball. Yes, I did. I enjoyed myself. And so maybe we can take that cruise over there to the Bahamas, you know, just to get away for a few days, nothing major, and get to know one another, meet and greet and that kind of stuff, and just have a good time. Because, you know, if God is allowing their country to be open and everything go well, then okay. Now, if it don't go well, I can't do nothing. Mm-mm. I can't be guilty of killing people. I refuse. Yeah. So it's all right today in Jesus' name. Is there anyone else? If not, I will pray us out this morning. We pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Tomorrow morning, it won't be anything wrong with the speakers or the microphone, but I may not be able to do a lot of talking because I have quite a few things to get done. But I did not want to not do Jesus in the Morning. So I will be here and I will say some things, but it won't be a whole lot of talking. But we thank God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Thank you for all you've done already. Thank you for what you're doing right now and, Father, what you're going to do. We bless the name of Jehovah. We bless the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We can't thank you enough for all you've done. Great and mighty things for us. Who are we that you're even mindful of us? And Father, your eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, watching over us, your people. And we thank you this morning as we depart. Father, bless our going out. Bless our coming in. Meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Remind us to be obedient unto you. Remind us to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. Father, help us to be what you would have us to be in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And Father, we ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, September the 28th, 2021, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we're going to our last song of the morning.
Jesus' name, Jesus. life on you.
Okay, I forgot to tell y'all this, Sister Jerry, Brother Anthony, and I forgot one more. Sister Rita said good morning to you, good morning to you, good morning to you. Yes, Sister Jerry and Brother Anthony. All right, I wanted to get that out there and make sure you knew that she said good morning. All right, so bye-bye. Later, Tater, Louis, and Brother George West Perry, God bless you, God bless you. Oh, I missed it. Almost sent you a rose, Louis. Oh, my goodness, I would have messed up. Ah.